Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are being blessed by an amazing series of studies on making friends for God. We've discovered that if we're going to make friends for God, we have to make friends with God. But when we have that living connection with Him, His Holy Spirit will empower us to be powerful witnesses. We've all got gifts given by the Spirit. When we discover them, surrender our lives, miracles can happen. Today, we want to talk about sharing the Word of God. Now, you might say, well, I think I need some Word in me to share it through me, and that's a good place to start. So we're glad you're with us as we study together on Hope Sabbath School today. And welcome to the team. It's been a great series, hasn't it?
Yes.
And we're just in the middle of it, talking about sharing the Word of God today. And we're glad that you're part of our family, more than 200 countries around the world. We're always happy to hear from you. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org, because it encourages us to hear your testimony of how God is blessing you through His Word. So, Josphat, thanks for writing to us from Kenya. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's a blessing to watch Hope Channel. The way you do the discussion is really amazing. You not only make it interactive, but it's also interesting and practical. Since I started watching Hope Sabbath School, my life is no longer the same again. Thanks for touching my life. May God bless you. Well, we know who did that, don't we? Who gets the glory for that?
God
does. Thank you so much for writing, Josphat, and telling us how God is blessing you through a study of His Word. Marina writes from way down in New Zealand and says, I love Hope Sabbath School. I can listen to God's Word anytime. Mm-hmm. It's very informative, clear enough for anybody to understand. Love to you all from New Zealand. May God bless you. Well, Marina, thanks for writing to us from the beautiful islands of New Zealand. We're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from a donor couple in Oregon in the United States of America. And it says, thank you for joyfully answering God's call to be part of the Hope Sabbath School team. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing some of you sacrifice both money and time to journey to Maryland to participate in the in-depth interactive Bible study through which God blesses so many people. Well, how many of you traveled more than 1 hour to be part of the team today? Wow. Did any of you fly in airplanes? You say, okay. But some of you drove more than 5 hours maybe. Yes. Thank you from this couple for your sacrifice. Hope Sabbath School is one of the resources that I draw on in my preparation to teach in my local church. Because of the scripture emphasis, I listen to Hope Sabbath School first. Amen. I'm also blessed by a positive and joyful atmosphere and your personal testimonies. I can't forget to express what a blessing it is to memorize the scripture that Bodil puts to music. It's a gift, and I'm glad that it is used to glorify God, and I say amen.
Amen.
Thank you again, and a gift for $1,000 to Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Thank you for your kindness for partnering with us in mission. Now, someone always says, but we got the $35 too, and the $52, and the $5,
yes.
But we're all partnering together in mission, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting the Holy Spirit guide you to know how you can support this ministry. We really thank God for you. Here's a note from Javan in Zambia. Javan writes and says, I've been downloading Hope Sabbath School presentations, and they are changing my life.
Wow.
Continue spreading the Word of God. I'm a baptized church member. Let's commune through prayer on a daily basis worldwide. Well, that's right, Javan. We can fellowship together in prayer. We can pray for each other, and we can then go out and be empowered witnesses for God, making friends for God. One last note from Erica in Florida in the United States. And Erica says, I love the scripture songs and the in-depth interactive study. Well, Erica, we need you to sing with us right now. I know there's some beautiful voices out there in those 200 plus countries. It's our theme song from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5, word for word out of the New King James translation of the Bible. And we've got a tune that my wife composed, and it's a happy tune. I like to sing it. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Let's sing it together. I imagine in the kingdom of God, some of us from Hope Sabbath School will be walking along and David might say, "I know the words to that song. Somebody change the tune." Well, sometimes we lose tunes from Scripture. I don't know if we know any of the tunes maybe from the Psalms 3,000 years ago, but the words are inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So we can put them to another tune and we can sing them and hide that word in our hearts. And really, what I appreciate about that psalm, it's not just giving thanks, but it's saying, make known his deeds. Mm-hmm. Let's make friends for God. Let's be witnesses for God. Let's share his word. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to talk about as we study today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for Jesus, who is the living word of God, and for the Holy Spirit inspiring the written word of God through the prophets. And we pray you would teach us by your same Holy Spirit how to share the Word of God with others as we're making friends for God. Bless each Hope Sabbath School member around the world as we study today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In the Bible, if you read the Scriptures, there are many symbols for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Maybe because the Word of God is so rich that one symbol doesn't capture everything. So let's just share. What symbol, Chuck, jumps out at you as a symbol of the Word of God?
I like light.
Light. Is there a text that talks about that? Isn't there somewhere that your word
is a lamp?
There was a scripture song with 176 verses. Can you imagine? Psalm 119, right? And it's in that psalm, isn't it?
That's
Do you have verse 105?
Yes, I do.
How does that read in your Bible?
In the New King James Version, Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
Does that make sense?
Amen.
It sheds light. Now, of course, we know that the Word is not just the written Word, but Jesus, the living Word. Is He also the light of the world?
Yes.
Absolutely. He is the light of the world, isn't He?
Yes.
And when He is in us, His light will shine through us. Thank you. Sabina?
I really like heavenly bread.
Heavenly
bread. It speaks to nurturing and also speaks to
something. Is there a text that speaks about the Bible as bread?
Yes.
Where's that found?
That's Matthew 4:4.
Okay, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Isn't that where Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Sabina, how does that read in your Bible?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version. In Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
And he's quoting from which book of the Hebrew Scriptures?
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy. I think he memorized that book. Yeah. He quotes from it a lot, doesn't he? Yeah. So it's not just earthly bread that we need, but heavenly bread. And what is that heavenly bread?
The word of God.
The word of God. The words that proceed from the mouth of God. So we've got light. We've got bread. Someone else? Yes, Brittany.
I like seed because if the word of God is implanted in our hearts, then it can grow and produce fruit.
And is there a text that would help us to see the word of God as seed?
Yes. We can go to Luke chapter 8. That's one of the verses that shows
us. Okay, Luke 8 and verse?
And verse 11.
Verse 11. And this is a story where Jesus talked about a sower, right? And what does it say there in your Bible?
So this is when he's explaining the parable. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Now if you remember the story, there's a sower, right? So if the seed's just in a bag, nothing's going to happen, right? But the sower casts the seed. Does all of the seed grow?
No.
Is there something wrong with the word?
No.
The soil.
What's the difference, Jason?
It's all good seed, but the soil, where the seed comes to, there's different levels of growth or ability for the seed to grow there.
And we could take a lot of time, but there's a path and there's rocks and there's weeds. But there's also
good soil,
right? Amen. Good soil. Yes. And the good soil is where the seed finds a place to grow, to flourish, and to produce
fruit.
Hundredfold.
Yes.
That's right.
So that's another beautiful illustration. The word of God is like seed.
Yes.
Another one. Anyone? Yes, Trevor.
I like fire.
Fire.
Yes.
The word of God is
like fire.
Fire. Where would you find that in the Bible?
I believe it's Jeremiah 23.
Jeremiah. Let's take a look there. Jeremiah 23.
Verse 29.
Verse 29. Lots of different symbols of the word of God. How does that read in your translation?
So I'll be reading from the New King James Translation, verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?
Well, we got two symbols there, don't we? Two for one, right? We've got the fire, and we've got a hammer.
A hammer. Mm-hmm.
Breaks?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the symbol of fire there, do you think? Is it not like fire?
Powerful. Being able to penetrate that heart.
Yeah. You know, if you need fire, fire could be a good thing, but fire could also be something that you fear. Depends who's bringing the fire, right? If a rescuer is bringing fire, you could say, use my favorite Hebrew word, right? Which is
hallelujah.
But if an enemy's bringing fire.
Yeah.
So, but here, fire, the word of God, powerful. Yes, Brittany.
I was just thinking, when we look at fire in the word of God, it purifies. Just like if you put metal in the fire, the gold or the silver, it refines it.
Yes.
So God's word does that to our hearts.
Yes. Mm.
So we could go on, the word of God is a two-edged sword. And which symbol connects with you, Stephanie, the most?
I like light.
Do you?
Yes, because I know that he will guide me and he will direct me through his word. Yes.
I think that would work in any culture, right? Yeah. Every culture has light and darkness.
Yes. Yes.
And if you've ever been in complete darkness, like in a cave, you know how precious light is.
Right.
Yes. But God gives lots of opportunities for people to see how precious the word is. Mm-hmm. What do you think Jesus would say today? Do you think you might use another symbol besides the ones that we've heard? Anybody? What would you think? Yeah, Brittany?
Maybe a GPS, because we think about a GPS guiding us, you know, where we need to go from one place to another destination, and we think the word of God
global
guides us.
Global positioning system, right?
God's positioning system.
You know, my favorite thing on a GPS is recalculating. That's where you're going the wrong way. Did that yesterday and recalculating. because it wants to get you to the right destination. Mm-hmm. The kingdom, the Bible, the Word of God is like a GPS. Okay? Anybody else? Contemporary, Puya.
Maybe lenses or eyeglasses to help us see better.
Okay. The Word of God is like the correct prescription for your glasses. Yeah. You've heard people, they put glasses on, especially in some mission projects, put glasses on a person and they're like, I can see, right?
Right.
Yes, Haiti.
I think of a cell phone. It's something that we all have, and it's the way that he communicates with us.
The Word of God is like a cell phone with a battery that works. and there's a connection. Amen. That's interesting because it's through the Word of God that he communicates with us. It's not just a relic or something to admire. Yeah. We need to move on from talking about these symbols to talk about the creative power of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, I'm going to ask you to go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, because there we see the correlation between the Holy Spirit speaking to the prophets with the written Word and the living Word of God.
All right, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
And the whole book of Hebrews is about the fact that Jesus is better. That doesn't mean the Bible's not important, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the revelation of the Word of God in the person of Jesus is the greatest revelation of all. Let's hear about this Word of God in Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9. Laura, would you read that for us? And then we'll look at a parallel in John 1, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9.
2-9 or 6 and 9?
6 and 9. Thank you, Laura.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
Mm. When we hear by the word of the Lord, we might think by the words of the Lord, which is also true because it says he spoke, right?
Right.
But the word of the Lord, Puya, take us to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, because we may discover there's more than we initially recognize in that verse.
Right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made.
And in case people are wondering who that Word is, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John is testifying here about the living Word of God. Now Jesus, the living Word of God, or the Word of God incarnate, that's what the incarnation is, he struggled with the fact that there were religious leaders who cherished the written Word, but rejected him. In fact, there's a passage, Sabina, if you could read it in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. You almost feel the pain in the heart of Jesus, the Word of God, as he speaks to these religious leaders. What does he tell them?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
The Word of God is all about the Word of God.
Yes, that's right.
You have to watch my hands to get that one, right? Yep. The Word of God is all about the Word of God.
Yes.
So, Have you ever met someone, they say, well, I read the Bible and I just didn't get anything out of it? Mm-hmm. What was the problem? The Word of God is powerful, right? It's like light and fire and seed and
bread.
And what was the problem? They say, I read it, didn't get anything out of it. Jason?
If the person was reading it and didn't get anything out of it, then maybe they weren't connected to the source, the Word of God, Jesus himself.
And we don't want to judge them, right? They just, they're being honest. I read it, didn't get anything out of it. But the problem is they're missing the connection. Yes. So how do we help with that, Travis?
Well, first it's understanding the great controversy. We've talked about this conflict that we're in. Satan's purpose is to destroy the character of God. So if we're looking into the Bible, and Jesus is the light, he's revealing the character of the Father to us. And we're always looking to for God to reveal his character through stories that we're reading in the Bible. It will bring a powerful revelation to us. That's happened to me. I'm speaking from experience.
I think one of the problems is people who start reading the Bible think they're supposed to start at the beginning. That may not be the best place to start. Genesis is quite interesting. Exodus is okay. But when you get into Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, maybe the best place to start would be the Gospel of John or Matthew or Mark, where people read the story of Jesus and go, he's amazing.
Yes.
Right? Because he's the one we want them to know. Sabina?
And you know, sometimes we just need help also up to now, even as we grow as Christians and we mature. There are passages in the Bible that we still have some hard time understanding. So I think we should not be ashamed of asking for help. If you're reading something and we're not getting out of anything out of that, maybe someone can help you, right?
I happen to believe a great place to start, if someone's never seen it before, would be to watch one of the Gospels word for word, a dramatized version. Gospel of John is available, Matthew's available. And by the way, if they've learned a little about Jesus, now the book of Acts is available. I watched that and my heart cry was, oh God, could that happen again today? When people see, and I realize it's a dramatic portrayal and it may not be 100% the way you would do it, but as they see the story, and these broadcasts, by the way, these films are word for word for the text. There's something that happens when people see the story of Jesus. That might be a good place to start. Chuck?
Yes, absolutely. I think that sometimes what's helped me in understanding the Word of God is reading. I've read books about Christ's life while I was reading from the Gospels.
Amen.
And as I started getting a picture of who Christ is, it makes the Word come alive.
Well, there are benefits of studying the Word of God, that's for sure. But let's be gentle on someone who says, I started reading it and didn't get much out of it. Stephanie?
And I think of when I first started reading the Bible, I didn't feel like I was getting anything out of it. But I also had been feeding other parts in my life that made it less of an interest to me.
Okay.
So as you continue to read, God reveals himself and it becomes more of a tasteful thing.
It may be hard to compete with a violent video game. But let's meet people where they are. And the story of Jesus is a compelling story, especially if they could watch it. For the first time. Sabina, did you want to add to that?
I was just thinking also that the first time when I first read the Bible, I was a child. So I also had a hard time understanding as a child. And as you were saying, competing with a video game or with things that children nowadays have access to. So I really believe that as a church also, we need to walk with the little ones and help them understand the Bible. I'm thinking about that.
I noticed that when a parent or a teacher of young children reads a story, they don't go, you know, that's how sometimes people preach and it's really boring, right? But and then David said to Goliath, you know, and like, right? It's enthusiastic, even the adults listen. Stories are powerful and the Bible is full of stories. So let's start with the story of Jesus. But there are some blessings, and we want to go on to some blessings. Let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, because we know as we're sharing the word, we're talking here about making friends for God, that if they'll get into the word, there'll be some blessings, right?
Yes. Jason?
What does Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15?
I'm reading here from the New King James Version, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Now, if that's the only benefit, what do you think?
Amen.
Yeah,
it tells you how to find salvation,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And how is that? What is the way of salvation?
Faith in Jesus.
But the text goes on. Aisha, could you read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17? There are some other blessings that come. That's why we want to share the word with people as we're making friends for God. What does the Bible say?
I will be reading from the New International Version, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Mm-hmm. Which one's more important? Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. I had to sing my wife's song to get those four correct. Put that to music. Which one's more important?
All of them.
They're all important. Okay.
All important.
Doctrine means Bible teaching, right?
Yes. Yes.
Reproof means?
Correction.
What does reproof mean?
Pointing out
where you're out of line. Yeah, right. Correction.
Putting you back in line.
How to find your way back in line. Yeah. Instruction in righteousness.
How to keep in line.
That's a good way. Good way.
All right. That sounds very practical, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very helpful. All right. What else can the Word of God do for us? Well, we know it provides guidance. It's a lamp for our feet, right? Mm-hmm. Light for our path.
Yes.
But let's look at John 17, verses 14 through 17. John 17, verses 14 through 17. Stephanie, could you read those verses for us? Here Jesus is speaking.
Yes, and I'll be reading from the King James Version, John 17, verses 14 through 17. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Mm-hmm. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Mm-hmm. Sanctify them through thy truth. Mm-hmm. Thy word is truth.
Mm-hmm. What does the word sanctify mean, Brittany?
It means to make us holy.
How does the word of God, well, you say, well, I got to remember, the word of God is not only the word of God, but the
word of God,
right? How does the word of God make a person holy? Mm-hmm. Chuck?
The Word of God points us to Him who is holy. Mm-hmm. It shows us who Jesus is. It gives us an understanding of what righteousness looks like via Christ and His plan for our lives.
Mm-hmm. And it tells us how to get there.
Yes.
How do we get there?
Yes.
Through Jesus.
That's right.
By the way, if you don't know the answer, say Jesus, right? Because He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
He's the beginning and the end.
Right.
And you go to the Holy Spirit and say, do you have any help? He says, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What gift do you have for me, Father? Jesus. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last, isn't He?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God is always pointing to Him. Now, one thing in the life of Jesus that really impressed me is the fact that Jesus understood that the Word of God was a defense against the enemy.
Amen. Mm.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Why would the Word of God be a defense against the enemy?
Amen.
Why? Yes, Sabina.
Because the enemy lies. You know, he's very skilled in lying and in twisting truth. Mm. So once you know the Word of God, you can combat his lies with truth.
Oh, yes. I love what you said, because the Word of God is truth. The Word and the Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the
truth.
So the enemy comes with lies, and the weapon against his lies is the truth. And ultimately, of course, Jesus, right? So Jesus, you remember when he was tempted? Recorded in Matthew 4, constantly, what did he say?
It is written.
How did he know what scriptures to quote in defense of the specific temptations that were brought to him?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit brought to his
remembrance.
The Word of God that he'd hidden in his heart.
Yes.
Jesus didn't walk around with scrolls under his arm, the Deuteronomy scroll, right? He put the Word in his heart. So the Word of God was a defense against the enemy. Now, I wish we had time for you to share a time when, I'm going to take the time, it's too important, when the Word of God was a defense against the enemy for you. Because we're going to share, and Heidi, I'm going to let you share. We're going to share with others the Word of God. Why? Because we believe it's powerful. Amen. It's light and fire and heavenly bread and GPS and all of those wonderful things. But we experience the power of the Word of God in this great battle that you spoke about. Share a time, Heidi, when God brought a word to you that was a defense against the
enemy. I'm going to try to keep it cool. I was born and raised in a Christian home. My entire life, I married a Christian husband. I've raised my children in a Christian way. But I started to have struggles with the existence of God. And I had had those thoughts in my life throughout different periods, but the Lord would, corral me back in and get rid of those thoughts. But I went to a point where it, consumed me. And I went into a really dark place where I was just like, I really don't know if he is there or not, you know? And it was crazy because we would have family worship and everything, and I would be teaching my kids about God, but inside I was struggling with that, and I felt just lost and empty. And what brought me back was the Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody told me, pray anyway. Somebody that I shared this with, my mother, actually, I thank God for her. And
Amen.
I prayed anyway, and I started reading and reading, and that's when God brought me to watch Hope Sabbath School. And it changed my life.
Amen.
So before praise you God. Became a team member, I've got to try to talk after hearing that powerful testimony. But before you became a team member, you were a part of the worldwide family of Hope Sabbath School.
Yes.
So you really believe this, don't you?
This is life. This is breath to me. This transforms your life. This is everything to me.
Praise God. React to that. What can you do? Chuck?
It's amazing. The Word of God has living power. It's not just ink on white paper. When we read it and we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us as we read it, it changes our lives. It changes the lives of those who hear it.
If anyone has a box of Kleenex that we could pass down the line, why are there some tears in our eyes? You know, I've got some in mine. I see some on some cheeks. Is someone going to bring some Kleenex over? I'm very serious about that. What's going on? That was a Holy Spirit inspired testimony, wasn't it?
That's right.
What was happening in our hearts at that moment? You can pass the Haiti and pass it on down. That would be wonderful. And you may need to pass some to some of our viewers where they are. Because someone had a tear. I saw a tear in your eye too. Not really, but I know there was one. What was going on?
Pastor, it made us think about our own journey.
Okay.
Our own personal relationship with the Father and where he's brought us from.
That's right.
You know, one of the things, Heidi, about your testimony that was so powerful is someone might look and say, you can't understand because I'm struggling. And you had the courage and the transparency to say, let me tell you about my struggle. There's probably that's where the tear comes, isn't it?
Right.
Because we go, you know, I've had a struggle too. And the Word of God came to me as a defense against the enemy. Sabina.
And she also made me think about the many times that I decided to obey the Word of God. And You know, I've heard once from a friend, she spoke to me and it really spoke to my heart. You never know what is in the other side of our obedience. Yes. And maybe some of us that are watching and even us here seated, we have not yet received the promises that we are waiting based on our obedience. But sometime and someday we will. And that's what made me also cry, thinking about how God is faithful.
Yeah. He is faithful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I just thought about this and I realized I'm here only because someone came to my ancestors bringing the word of God. I belong to a Mizo ethnic group called, people call Mizo ethnic group, and we live in the border of Northeast India and Burma. And we did not know God. My ancestor, they did not know God. We worship trees and stones and the rocks. But when the missionaries came, they brought the word of God.
Praise God.
And it changed everything for my people. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go back to Mizoram, you'll see churches everywhere now.
Wow.
It's how it shows the power of the word of God. Yeah.
And I want to give you a chance to testify because you went back to your people.
That's right.
Even though you had grown.
Yes.
You went back in recent years and actually shared the word of God with them.
That's right.
What did you see God do there?
Well, as we have read earlier, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and guiding us more and more, bringing more and more light so that we could walk in his righteousness.
Amen. And what did you see as you shared that word with the people?
Well, lives were transformed. Lives were being changed and people giving their lives to God. And it's just powerful to see. And myself, I was being transformed in the process through the Word of God. It's kind of like where you mentioned that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It's like as we share, it's like it cuts both ways. Mm-hmm. It cuts our hearts as well as the listeners. Mm-hmm. Both ways. The Word of God is just powerful.
So if the Word of God is so powerful, and we've heard some powerful testimonies, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Why do many professed Christians neglect the Bible? We're talking about sharing the word of God so we can make friends for God, but we've got to make friends with God first, right? Yeah. We need to cherish the Bible so that we feel this passion about sharing it. Yeah. Chuck, why? We're not being critical.
No.
We're just saying, what is it if it's so powerful that many professed Christians neglect a reading of and studying the word of God?
Satan hates anything that draws us closer to God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he sees that this word has so much power to actually change our lives, that we heard in the testimonies today, he will do whatever he can to distract us, to keep us from being interested, to get us sidetracked. Yeah. And I think probably if we ask testimonies of us here, many of us have felt that. Yeah. Even as Christians who are walking with Jesus, there are times where we just are so caught up with other issues. And Satan does that, and it's for us to say, God, please keep me centered on you. Keep me focused on what you want in my life.
One of the things that really makes the Word of God so powerful is when we apply it to our own lives.
Yes.
Let's look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15, Laurel, could you read verse 4? Here, really, the Apostle Paul, not only for Christians in Rome, but for all of us, is saying, don't just read it, well, I read my Bible today. No. Hear the Word of God and apply it. What do we hear in Romans 15, 4?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
So it was written for our
learning.
Learning. So there's something that a person might say, okay, you just quoted a promise that God gave to Samuel, or it's got nothing to do with you. Where can I go in the Scripture to say, yes, it does. Those promises that were in the Scripture are not just for the person there. They're for every believing child of God.
Yes.
Where could I go to show that to a person? By the way, I could also get my experience and say, I claim that promise and here's what God did. right?
True.
Anywhere you we could go in Scripture. Travis?
I think it's Romans 10:13. I think that's where that's found.
All right, let's take a look. Romans chapter 10. That's talking about everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Well, that's where we find the Scripture, the promises in Scripture that He wants all of us.
Okay. All right. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. I'm thinking somewhere we might talk about the promises as being not just for them, but also for us. Anybody?
Well, I'm thinking of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Would you read that for us, Stephanie?
Sure.
2 Peter chapter 1?
Yes, verses 1 through 4.
Verses 1 through 4. Because if the promises of the Bible are meant for all of us, including the people we want to make friends with for God, we ought to be sharing those promises with them, right? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
What are you reading there from the Apostle Peter?
All right. And the King James Version says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
So they've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Yes.
Give me one of those that's precious to you. There's no right or wrong answer. Brittany, do you have a precious promise that's given through the prophets by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, one of my favorite verses is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Could we read that together? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 3. Most of the Proverbs, as you know, were written by Solomon. That's right. There are a few other contributors, including the mother of, was it King Lemuel? So there was a lady that contributed to her son who wrote them down. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, how does that read in your Bible? And this is a precious promise for you.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
When would you think of a time, you were talking about sharing the word with others, that you might share that promise?
Well, I know that I've claimed this promise many times where I've had major decisions in my life and I didn't know which way to turn and I surrendered to God and He made it clear. And so when I meet people who are struggling with decisions or which way to turn in their lives, I can share that promise with them and share what God did for me and how He guided me.
Just like Haiti shared her experience with the Word, you could share that promise, how you claimed it and God was faithful to that. Puya?
Yes. I would like to read from Psalms 91, verse 1
Psalm 91, okay. And verse 1.
Give verse 1 and 2.
1 and 2, okay, give us a moment. Right. Psalm 91, that's verses 1 and 2.
Yes.
And this is a precious promise.
It is a precious
that
promise
that you say
I'll
claim
me.
It. Okay.
Especially in times when I am afraid.
Okay.
Times when I'm scared about the future or the world that we live in. This text has brought peace to my heart. So I'm reading from the New King James Version, Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust.
Amen.
So that's a promise that you can not only claim, but I'm sure there's a lot of people watching even today who say, I need that. By the way, where is that secret place of the Most High? Which country is it located? Anybody?
Wherever He's at.
Well, God is omnipresent, right? And where is the secret place of the Most High?
Prayer.
Where is it?
The tabernacle of God.
Well, if you read the
Lord.
Second half, it is Him. He is the secret place.
That's right. Yes.
Because it's the shadow of the Almighty, right?
That's, right.
That's Hebrew parallelism there, right? Mm-hmm. So the secret place, you say, where is it? You say, it's right next to your Savior.
That's right.
Right next to your Savior.
That's right.
It's the place to be.
Yes. Right.
And He's with us by the Spirit wherever we would go. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that promise, Puya. I think there's someone watching today who needed to know where they could find shelter.
That's right.
Amen. Where they could feel safe. Mm-hmm. Yes. Someone else, a precious promise. Mm. Anyone have another one? Anyone here have one, Gary?
So recently, I mean, it's coming up to a year when I lost my mom passed. Mm-hmm. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14.
1 Thessalonians, Paul writing to the Christians in Thessalonica.
Mm. Yeah.
And you were thinking about chapter 4.
Yes.
Verses 13 and 14.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
And I'm going to ask you to read verses 15, 16, and 17 because there are a lot of people watching the program. Mm. They need to know, maybe there's a loved one dying right now.
Yeah.
Mm. And they need to know that if that loved one is trusting Jesus as Savior, that death is not the final resting place, right?
Yes.
So you read about having comfort.
Yes.
But could you read on verses 15, 16, and 17?
Sure. Okay, picking up in verse 15, and this is the New King James Version. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the next verse says comfort one another with these words. It's beautiful. Mm. A loved one passes away. Maybe you're watching today and say, I have a loved one at death's door.
Yeah.
You can find hope in that promise.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
You lost your mother a year ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, she was. And I mean, a lot of my family was like, oh, you look so at peace. You're not as, you know, shaken. I know the type of relationship you two had. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was the word of God that helped bring me through that and is continuing to bring me through that because I have the faith in this promise, knowing that I will see her again. And, you know, even though she's not going to see her grandson and all those types of things. Exactly. It's yet. And we can like pull up whatever memories that God can show and say, like, oh, there he was when he was born. But anyway, yes.
It's real life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Real life. Yes. Now, if the word of God is so powerful, we've discovered that it is, and we know it's for real life, then we ought to share that word.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Part of making friends for God is sharing the truth, which exposes the devil's lies, right?
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Sharing the word of God. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Acts 4 and verse 20. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. And Puya, if you have that, would read it for us, please. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20.
Acts chapter 4, verse 20, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Mm. Can't keep silent.
Nope.
Why? Why?
They're
going to throw them in jail. They're going to beat them. They're eventually going to kill most of them. But they're like, we can't keep silent. Right. Stephanie?
God has made a dramatic change in their life. They've met Jesus.
Mm. And so I can't keep silent about the truth I know. Mm-hmm. Yes? Exactly.
If Christ is in you, you can't hide it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if I've heard this illustration of a glove, and a glove by itself is nothing, but when you put a hand in the glove, you can't hide the fact that there's something in the glove, you know? And I think the same way, when Christ is in us, we're just not us anymore. Mm-hmm. We can't hide the fact that there's something inside.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little troubled, because if you say if Christ is in you, you can't help. But there's a lot of people that aren't sharing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The word. Yeah. Mm. Let's look at Paul's testimony in Romans 1, verse 16. Wow. Romans 1, verse 16. Laurel, would you read that for us?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek.
We're hearing the voice of a person who was beaten, imprisoned, right? Eventually killed.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's not ashamed. Mm-hmm. Jason, why? Why wasn't he ashamed to share? We're talking about the word being so powerful.
That's right.
And we've experienced the power of the word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he ashamed to share?
This is a person whose life was completely changed, and he actually had an experience with Jesus. And when you have an experience with Jesus, whether it's physical like he had, or even just understanding him, the written word and the living word, it can't help but change you, and you can't help but want to share it, and it makes your life completely different.
Mm-hmm. Travis?
Well, it's got to take and look at his background, too. And he was a Jew, a devout Jew.
Right.
And so the gospel to most of the religious leaders or Jesus was, you know, they crucified him. And so now here he is, a devout Jew, once devout Jew, now spreading the gospel and sharing the very name and the message that they had forbidden in the first place. And they said, I'm not ashamed of this message anymore. Because it transformed his life. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie?
But he was having an encounter with Jesus, I believe, often. Because he had to. He had persecution one right after the other. And he was staying connected. Is it possible that we're just not having that daily encounter with Jesus?
And I want to be gentle with someone who's saying, but I'm kind of a little intimidated.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I love Jesus.
Right. Mm.
Actually, there was a young, I was going to say intern, a young trainee who worked with Paul who needed a little encouragement. And Chuck, his name was Timothy, right?
That's right.
Second Timothy is a letter. It's a long email. Second Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. I want you to hear these encouraging words, and I want to speak to those of you watching today as well as to us. You might say, I want to be bold for God. I want to share the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, but sometimes I feel
intimidated,
nervous. Either by internal insecurity or outward pressure. What encouragement does Paul give to not only to young Timothy, but also to each one?
Okay, I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 from the New King James Version. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
It doesn't say try harder.
No.
Bite your lip.
That's right.
Push forward. How is that courage going to come?
It's from God.
It's a gift. How is that boldness
coming? It's
from
God.
It's
a gift from
God.
What's the image he uses?
Stirring up the gift of God
that is in you.
Yes.
Holy Spirit. Right?
Yes.
I'm intimidated. In a previous program, Harold was saying he walked back and forth before his professor's door, back and forth, because the Spirit of God had said, take something to encourage your professors at your secular university. Back and forth. Yeah. But stir up the gift of God. Holy Spirit, be strong where I'm weak. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. As we're talking about sharing the Word of God, I'm reminded of a saying from someone who said, preach the gospel, preach the Word at all times, and when necessary, use words.
Mm-hmm. So, but it takes courage even to do that,
courage,
doesn't it?
And I just want to add that when we say share the Word, it's not only in words, literally, but many times we share the Word through our lives. So there may be people who are afraid right away to go out and share, but as they're living faithfully for God, that's already sharing the Word in some ways.
I'm praying that when we ask the Holy Spirit to work through us, we'll be surprised at how bold we are.
Amen.
Yes. And that's what He wants to see happen.
Amen.
Haiti.
So I have felt like this many times, and I would stand at a bus stop with some moms every day. And towards the end of the school year, we talked about laundry, husbands, kids, you know, normal life stuff. I said to myself, I wonder if these moms know that I'm a Christian. I know they know that I go to church. I mentioned that. But do they know that I'm a Christian? Is there something different between me and them? So I prayed and I asked God, God, can you help me to show them the difference between they and I, something that I have that they don't have? And not even a week went by, and I got stuck standing at the bus stop with only one of the moms, and she said to me, you know what? My kids asked me about God, and I don't know anything about God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I don't know what to tell them. I don't have a Bible. I don't know anything. I know you're a Christian. Can you help me? God answered that prayer. From then on, every day, all we ever talked about was God. And I had an extra Bible. I gave it to them. The children one day told me, thank you for giving mommy that Bible. She's been reading it to us.
You know, God is going to open the door, isn't he?
Yes. That's right.
I'm getting excited because I'm a little timid myself. But when the Holy Spirit's in you and you're connected to Jesus, He will give you the place and give you the words and give you the joy of joining Him in His work.
That's right.
My, what a blessing to share the Word. But we first got to listen to the Word, obey the Word, know the living Word of God, and then He'll give us the opportunity to share the Word as we're making friends for God. Let's pray we would be alert to those opportunities in the days ahead. Father in heaven, we have been so blessed as we've studied about sharing the Word. First, thank you for giving us the Word. Thank you, Jesus, for being the living Word. And Holy Spirit, guide us to appropriately share the Word with others for their blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us. By the way, get into the Word, hopebiblestudy.org. You can study the Bible, learn more about the Word of God, fill your mind with the Word of God, connect to the living Word, and then go out guided by the Spirit of God and share the Word with those around you.